Welcome to episode number 171 of the Average Man Podcast. Christmas is coming. Welcome and merry fucking Christmas, boys and girls, men and women, whatever you may be. Mate, what a time it is. What a bloody time it is. Christmas Eve, Sunday. I've just finished the last of my bloody Christmas shopping. We're in Perth, Wanneroo to be more specific, house sitting here. We had a bit of a change up on the drive down because it was just windy as shit everywhere we were going, and I looked at the actual hours from point A to point B to point C and the kind of days we were going to have to pull to do it, and I thought, you know what? Bugger that, let's just get down there, which was a bloody good move because we have been non-stop since we got here trying to organise ourselves for Christmas. As far, we had no Christmas shopping done, so as far as getting our presents sorted, getting food sorted, you know, errands, running errands, doing bits and pieces, you know, with kids in tow and all that, had a few catch-ups with family, so it's been bloody hectic, mate, and we are looking forward to, obviously, to Christmas, but also to the days following Christmas when we can actually just kick it into neutral and cruise for a little bit, or kick it into cruise control, I should probably say, and cruise for a little bit, because it's just been full on, dude, and I'm so glad it's not just a small, like, period of time we're down here for a holiday, because we would have already wasted, like, 5 days or something. That's what it would feel like. But, you know, we got time. We got time up our sleeve. We just need to get through Christmas, recalibrate, reset our intention, what we want to get done in the days ahead, and then move from there. We are house-sitting for some people in Wanneroo, which worked out really nice for us. There's a pool here. It's not really central to anything. We have been doing a bit of driving to get to and from places, but hey, man, it's a pad, it's a house, it's a spot to park the caravan up. Really appreciative of them, and we're house sitting their dogs, or pet sitting their dogs, which brings me to a conversation that's been going on in the background between my wife, the kids, and I. You may have seen something about it on Instagram if you follow along. There's a sausage dog here, a dash hound, that we're looking after. And my wife's bloody fallen in love with this thing. Head over heels in love with this ridiculous little sausage. His name's Lilo, or Lilo. And she's absolutely obsessed with the bloody thing. They've been trying to peer pressure me into getting a dash hound for Christmas. She's already looking up breeders and found a bunch around the place, you know. And it's like, hey, whoa, slow your roll. We are not getting another dog, man. We are just about to embark off on a trip around Oz. We've managed to, well, my parents are looking after the cat, the one remaining cat, because we had two animals. Well, we had a cat die this year and a dog die last year. And the cat's actually taken off the first night at their house and hasn't been seen since for over a week now, which is not super great. But yeah, man, we're just downsized to the one small travel-sized dog, and they're trying to peer pressure me into getting another animal, like a random dog that was never on the cards. It's just like, nah, it's not happening. We're not bloody, you know, like, what do you call it? Emotion buying, binge buying a freaking dog just off the cuff. Like, that's not how we roll. And then there's another dog here. He's like a border collie cross Kelpie or Lab or something like that. Loopy Hugo. He's just full of beans, man. He's a big hairy mutt who slobbers all over the place. Really nice dog. Really kind soul. And the poor guy, you can tell he gets, you know, he gets in trouble all the time because he's big and goofy and he knocks shit over and he slobbers everywhere and he's so excited, so he gets put outside quite a bit. But, you know, we've been treating him good, taking him for a run every morning or throwing the ball for him every morning, wearing him out to a bloody exhaustion. So he's not missing out on the love. But, yeah, it's a hectic dynamic. If you let him inside the house, he starts charging around the place and that. So poor fella's out the back while the other two dogs are inside. My dog and the wiener dog, the sausage dog. Man, the shopping thing. the bloody shopping thing, you forget about it. You kind of, you know it's coming, and you talk about it, you say how crap it is, and by the time Christmas rolls around the next year, you actually forget about it, the whole thing. I think I said on a podcast a couple of weeks back, the last one, that Christmas shopping isn't stressful, it's a privilege you get to do. It's a minor inconvenience. Well, yeah, that is true. It's not stress, but it sucks. It sucks, man. It just wears you out, just especially when you're from the country. There's just people everywhere. They're all in bad moods. I'm in a bad mood. I'm out there just walking around like cattle in traffic, just spending money you don't want to spend. And the spending, dude, is like we've been hemorrhaging money since we got here. It's like, whoa, we need to put a clamp on that, man. So, yeah, bloody hectic, man. Definitely need to put a clamp on that once Christmas is over, because, you know, we just can't keep spending like this. We don't have jobs. But, you know, the Christmas shopping's done now. We're heading up to the in-laws tonight to spend Christmas Eve with them and do Christmas morning with them as well, and some of the nephews tomorrow. Yeah, to do some presents, and then we head off to, yeah, we're having breakfast there, champagne breakfast, and then we're heading off to my sister's house for the rest of the day for Christmas Day, and we'll be swagging it up there that evening because we are not looking to drive all the way back to Wanneroo up for a few Christmas drinks. What was I going? Sorry, I had to stop and restart again because my daughter came in the caravan and was arguing with me about coming in here because she thinks she's going to get better internet in here, which isn't true. So now I'm a little bit flustered of where I was. But, yeah, man, it'd be good to get through the Christmas time and slow things down a bit. We did the Christmas lights last night at the Botanical Gardens. In Currumbine there, Currumbine, I guess that is, yeah, which was really nice, man, really nice. We spent an hour walking around there, and they'd really go all out there, set the whole joint up, and we didn't do the mini golf or anything, and I'm so glad we didn't. It was, like, you know, obviously more expensive, it was sold out anyway, but we were just walking around looking at lights, and there's people lined up, standing there waiting for their turn to go on the putt-putt, and there's, like, five or six groups deep on every hole waiting for a go. I'm just like, bugger that, man. I'm just here to see the lights. And my missus was frothing on all the plants there. So we had a bloody good night there, which was good because we've had a couple of hit and miss years with the Christmas lights. It's something I always like to do with the kids. It's really, you know, it makes it feel Christmassy. It makes it more exciting, you know. It gives you that Christmas vibe that you sort of get, you see in the movies and stuff like that. You know, it really helps make things feel special. And last year up in Yanchep, it was lame. We went to some lame houses and it just wasn't great. The year before that, I think we did the city because we were staying in a hotel at Christmas. We did the city and it was like a big mission walking around to all these different exhibits. And it was, they weren't very good. It was a lot of walking in between with just nothing, you know. So it was like a lot of dead time. There was one good display, which was like a holographic, like projector thing on the side of a big building. That was pretty cool, but it was definitely not worth going in there and walking around and all the dead time in between. So to go and do the lights at the Botanical Gardens was really cool, man. They went all out and it was just, yeah, it was good. It was a good vibe there. A lot of people, but good vibe. And, you know, because we want to make it feel Christmassy. We haven't done a whole heap of Christmas movies this year. I normally start on the 1st of December. We start rolling through them and we're pumping them all out. And we have watched a few this year, but we've just been so busy doing what we were doing and getting finished and getting out of there that, you know, we just didn't have the time to sit down and spend that much time doing Christmas stuff, hence the reason we're doing last-minute rush shopping the last few days. Which, I'll tell you one movie we did watch, which we watch every year, was Home Alone. We did Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2. And I got to say, man, I think this every year when I watch it. The dad, Kevin McAllister's dad from Home Alone, is a real dick, man. There's something about the guy that just, he's got this arrogance about him that just pisses me off, man. He, like, dismissive the way he talks, and he flutters his eyelids when he's speaking, like he's just like as if he's superior somehow. And he just annoys me, man. Can you check it out next time you watch it? If you haven't noticed, Kevin McAllister's dad is a friggin' douchebag, man. One last Christmas movie for the season we'll watch tonight, haven't brought it up yet, but I'm planning on talking the father-in-law into watching National Lampoon's with me tonight, Chevy Chase, the Christmas one. Oh, I love them, man. They're funny. We watched it last year, and it's from the 80s, and it still holds up. It's just funny. Chevy Chase was funny. It's just well done. It's a good, goofy Christmas movie. He'll be into it. I think he loves Chevy Chase, so I have a few brewskis tonight and watch the Christmas National Lampoon's one. That'll be good. And that'll be all the Christmas movies for the year, I'd say. So, yeah, I've been... aside from the shopping and full-on pace, I've been managing to keep a little bit of a routine going as far as the training and stuff. I've done like a 1 week membership, which will turn into a 2 week membership at one of the local gyms up here in Wanneroo, Culture Fitness, which is actually a really big gym. It's good machines, good range of machines and good amount of machines. You're never going to not be able to do something there. You're just going to find a similar or slightly different machine to do if the one you wanted was taken. So, which I'm not used to that much selection, you know. And I ran into a podcast guest there who was a Zoom podcast guest, Brooke Newsom, who is a sprint car racer. She does the sprint cars and the Formula 500. I think she does Formula 500 and sometimes the smaller ones as well. The name of those I can't quite remember anymore. And she was at, so that's obviously her gym that she goes to. Not her gym, but it's the gym she goes to. I think she said this morning she's been going there for 16 years or something. So that was cool to bump into her and meet her in the flesh and say good day. She had one of the small cart there out the front, because they had a bit of a Christmas breakfast shindig going on there with a blow-up Santa and some sausages on the barbecue and stuff. Didn't hang around for any of that, but that was cool. Cool to meet her and say good day. And, yeah, good gym, mate. It's 10-minute drive down the road or whatever, but it's just good to get in there. And you know, different gyms always, you always get another motivation pump, because it's a new environment, it's different machines, you just kind of, I don't know, it gives you a bit of a kick and it's kind of a novelty, so you train a bit harder, which is good. But the first few caravan workouts I've done have actually gone not too bad either. I think I've done two caravan workouts. So with the kettlebells I've got here, the gym mat I bought, I haven't pulled out the chin-up bar yet. I will. When I do that, there will be a video going along with that, a little tutorial or a little tour of it and show you guys how that works. I'm pretty proud of it. Me and Garrett from Pilbara's knocked up a bloody awesome little rig of a chin-up bar off the back of the van, so I'm looking forward to showing you guys that one. But I haven't had to bust that one out yet. I've managed to find parks, have some poles I can hang off and do chin-ups on. But they're not too bad. I've been doing like an hour and 20, hour and a half minute workout, really into the body weight stuff to get going, 100 push-ups, 100 squats, 100 chin-ups. That one's becoming a staple in my workout now. And then I'm doing a bunch of sit-ups and different stuff, and then using the kettlebells for different, either concentrating on chest for the rest of the workout, or concentrating on shoulders for the rest of the workout, or concentrating on legs. So... yeah, it's working pretty well. I'm getting a good workout in. I'm only going to get better at putting these workouts together. So I'm pretty confident that I'm going to be all right on the road, traveling around, staying fit, as long as I keep not the motivation there, but the discipline there. And that'll just be about putting it in my routine. Get up at a certain time, do your work, and get on with your day like I always have. So I'm actually looking forward to it now, seeing what we can do with very little and how the fitness and everything holds up after like a year on the road. I'll go to gyms when I can, when we pull up into town, if I'm doing a bit of work, but 80% of my workouts are going to be these little caravan home workouts now. So looking forward to pulling, seeing what we can pull off. Just having a sip of my whiskey there, which I wasn't quite sure about, because the second night on the trip down, the night we got to Exmouth, went out to the pub there, had a couple of great beers and some pizza, which is obviously out of the ordinary for me. It was really good pizza. And then that night was UFC 297, I think. And I've been waiting to watch it. So once the kids were in bed, I pulled up, got the laptop out, sat back and had a whiskey and a couple of tequilas and watched it, man. And I guess the pores were bigger than I thought they were, and I put it all away quicker than I thought I was putting it away, because I got pissed. I didn't really notice it that evening, but, man, I woke up the next day so hungover, so dusty, like proper hangover, as if you've been out on the piss, changing up drinks, being silly all night. It was bad. It was a bad one. I hung around all day. I was seedy. I had headache. I was tired. It was no good, man. And it just crept up on me. I didn't realize I was getting pissed. It wasn't the intent. I was just having a few drinks. So I got to watch that. Because, yeah, I did not need that, man. I did not need a hangover like that again. It was a complete waste of day. Bloody, oh, it was feral, man. But made it down, made it through it. As I said, we adjusted our trip down anyway. I made the decision on that hangover day. I was not willing to deal with crappy beachside accommodation with 45 kilometer an hour winds. I was just like, and then, like I said, big drives to get to and from where we wanted to go. So, look, bugger it, we pulled the pin and drove all the way down. And just wanted to get here, man. That the house pack up, which I spoke about in the last podcast that we had ahead of us, to man, that was rough. That was rough. Emma's mum flew up to help us, which was really cool, unexpected and really cool. And it was a great help to help get her in the right headspace and get us a really good head start on packing. And it was pretty much like, because we had a lot of stuff going on, Em was down in Perth for a bit. Right before we left, you know, I was hectic at work and trying to finish strong on a good note at work and everything, and just you know, it was busy, it was hectic, so we really didn't do a whole lot before, like, the lead up. I sold a few things here and there, but it was basically packing up our entire life in a week, 7 days, and it was hectic, dude. It was horrible, and it's not the same as just moving, which we've done before. You throw a few things out, you pack everything in boxes, it goes on a truck, you get it at the other end, you unpack, you throw a few more things out, get rid of the boxes, it's done. It's shit, no one likes doing it, but that's all it is. This was kind of like, this was different. We had to get rid of 80% of the things we own. We put, I got a 6x4 trailer, and we filled that with boxes and tubs and sent that down to Perth, which is currently at, I need to pick that up after Christmas, and which is going to stay at my father-in-law's house or at the in-law's house. So not a lot of boxes, not a lot of tubs. I sent that down here. Some of it's probably going to get thrown out as well still. And whatever we could fit in the car and the van, everything else went to the tip, got sold, got given away, whatever. Everything went. And, dude, it was just a lot of work cleaning out the shed, knocking down the shed, because the shed was never supposed to be built there. So I had to pull that apart, get rid of it. Had a big skip in, should have got a bigger one. That got filled too quickly. Just kept pulling stuff out of the yard, just trailer loads and truck loads of trash and rubbish and stuff that I should have got rid of years ago, and just didn't realize how much crap we had. Even not cleaning the house, still living in the house and storing stuff in the van. It was too hot to live in the bloody van, you know, in Port Hedland in the middle of summer. Like, just even the last day trying to get out of there, we're just carting things out and out and out. I'm like, this is like a TARDIS. It's like an never-ending box of crap, this house. I just can't get everything out of it. It was like right down to the wire. We were pulling stuff out to the last. We were cleaning till 10 minutes before the walkthrough, and then the next day is the day we left, and we were still pulling stuff out, you know, right until 2 o'clock in the afternoon when we drove out of town finally. It was a horrible experience, and I'm glad it's done, and I'm glad I threw out so much of that crap. And when we pick up these boxes next week, we're gonna continue to throw stuff out, and we're living in the van down here in Perth for, you know, at least 6 weeks, so we will be refining the caravan system while we're here. We've got too much stuff. too much crap. We were so heavy traveling down. It was so heavy, man. The car would have been the gross combined mass of the car and the vehicle together would have been well over, and it felt like it too. And there was just crap in the van everywhere. You can't move around, like, you know, it's not like it's stacked up to the ceiling or anything, but it's just there's too much stuff. The canopy was jam packed full, my roof rack's full. So we need to spend time living in this van, really going through it. What do we need? What don't we need? Where can that thing live? If it can't live somewhere, it doesn't come with us. And just, yeah, we want to spend a bit of time knocking it down. And I hope that that was definitely, traveling from Port Hedland to Perth was the heaviest we will ever be, because there was so much crap. And I hope that traveling around the country would just continue to get lighter and lighter and more efficient, because, you know, it takes a while to get used to living in a van. Obviously, it's a new skill set that we need to develop and we don't have yet. But yeah, man, it was hectic driving down. Yeah, man, and it still struggled at a couple of spots, towing, going uphill into the wind. It was hard to get over 80 k's an hour, and for a period of time I pulled over a couple of times, let the engine cool down or the transmission, either one, I'm not sure what it was, even though I've got the transmission cooling system installed now. So I'm actually considering a remap and a new chip and a remap for the Ranger to get more power, more torque, more fuel efficiency. Fuel efficiency, give me some more of that, please. We chewed through so much fuel coming down. So yeah, I think that's probably worth looking into as an investment for the you know, the long term driving around, because it did kind of struggle with all the weight in it, and the fuel efficiency was terrible, and it's always been a bit of a slug off the mark, the Ranger. So I think a remap and just adjusting the ratios could be really beneficial, and, you know, hopefully save us fuel, so make it worth its while. Man, I spent enough time at fuel stations recently. I actually got in trouble at a fuel station the other day for being on my phone. I was filling up a whole tank and thought, I'm just going to try and send a text back while I'm on here and kill two birds with one stone. And they obviously saw me on the little camera near the pump, and have them say over the whole, you know, speaker, "Excuse me, pump 8, get off your phone." I was like, fucking hell, that was fucking embarrassing. Everyone looking over my way and shit. And I had a little smug grin on my face. I couldn't help it. When I walked in there, I couldn't help it. Oh, just leave it, dude. They just shut up. Yeah, they're telling you to get off your phone. You know you're not supposed to be on your phone, but I just couldn't help it. I walked in there, shit-eating grin on my face, I reckon, and said to the lady at the counter, I said, "Whew, that was a close one, eh?" And she kind of looks at me, and I said, nearly blew the whole place up. And she goes, yeah, nearly. I said, lucky it doesn't happen when they're in your pocket, hey? And she kind of just looked at me and gave me a dry look, and I'm thinking, I'm just going to leave it here. But, like, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody who knows what they're actually talking about, because clearly I don't, but your phone is sending and receiving signal the entire time it's in your fucking pocket, right? Especially if you've got location services enabled, it's sending and receiving your location. You've got apps running in the background that are sending and receiving information. Your Instagram and your Facebook are still getting, you know, things come through while it's in your pocket. You know, it's working the whole time it's in your pocket. It's not like just because you pull it out of your pocket and start using the keypad and send a text, now all of a sudden it becomes a fucking explosion threat. I'm like, the fucking phone's working anyway, man. It's not a Nokia 5210 where it only fucking does anything when you pull it out your pocket and start hitting the actual buttons on it. So what's the rule there? You're not allowed phones at the bowser? You're not allowed a phone near the bowser? You're not allowed, do you have to put your phone on airplane mode before you pull into the bowser? Or is there, like, can you have a phone if it's in a Kevlar fucking sleeve, or you've got Kevlar plated fucking pants on? Or what about carrying it in your hand? Like, if you're a female or something and you've just got your keys and your phone on you and you're going to pay on your phone, you don't have a pocket and you're holding your phone in your hand while you fill up, are you allowed to do that? Because it's right there near the bowser, near the fuel coming out, sending and receiving fucking information. But the minute you look at the screen and try and fucking send a text, because I'm going to be standing here for 3 minutes fucking filling up diesel, all of a sudden it becomes a fucking huge issue, and you got to say over the loudspeaker, "Excuse me, pump 10, can you please get off your phone?" I'm like, far out. Okay, lady. You exercise your fucking one and only piece of fucking power you have in the world at my expense. Righto, okay, I'll play along. I don't think that fucking makes sense to me. If I'm fucking wrong, let me know. Tell me what's going on there, what I don't know, and what I've missed, and I'll reconsider my stance on it. But I'm pretty sure that's a fucking stupid rule. And you're a fuckwit if you enforce it, knowing that it's a stupid rule. Just my opinion. Mate, the rules. People love their fucking rules, especially if they don't have any other power in their life and they get a little chance to, like fucking during COVID,
I'm not serving you until you pull your mask up.
And you're like, you motherfucker. So you pull your mask up, the little fuckwit behind the counter would serve you, give you your drink, and as soon as the drink was in your hand, you could pull your mask down. We're playing a game here, fuckwit. We're playing a game. You looked me right in the eyes and told me you couldn't serve me until I pulled my mask up. Then you gave me a drink, and now I've pulled my mask down. You're going to act like you didn't even see that. It doesn't matter because I've got a drink in my hand now. I can have my mask down. You little fucking maggot playing those fucking games. Fuck, that shit pisses me off. Rules, man. And it's online more and more now too. Like, obviously YouTube's fucking full of rules. Instagram, man, like you're right. Like, I'm trying to stop doing this anyway. Commenting on posts, like typically comment on like MMA community posts and stuff, which is the worst place to be commenting. It's just full of fucking degenerates and stuff in those comment sections. But every now and then I go to comment something, and if they think it's offensive at all, they'll like not even swear words, just like because you know, normally if I say something, it's tongue in cheek, being a smart ass, having a joke or a laugh or whatever. And if they think it's offensive, they're like, you should consider altering your comment. Or they'll just read it, flag it, and go, this comment was fucking removed. It looks similar to other comments that were, you know, whatever, offensive or against our community guidelines or something. I'm like, fuck me, this joint's getting heavily censored more and more by the day. X, I don't use Twitter, I never really have, but X is looking more and more appealing by the fucking day, the way the rest of the social media kingdom's heading. But anyway, as we've mentioned, Christmas is tomorrow. No more bloody shopping. We've got some more shopping to do after Boxing Day, things that I've wanted for a period of time and I've been waiting for, but it's not like, it's at a more measured pace. It's not that frantic pre-Christmas shopping, just buying junk, just spending all your frigging money on junk to give away to other people that they probably don't even really want just because it's a thing that we do as part of our custom. So it's stuff that I actually need and I've been looking forward to getting for a while. I've been researching and stuff and I can take my time and just cruise around and get it without the shops being completely chock-a-block full, without this weird sort of hectic, frantic thing sitting over my shoulder. You got to get it done, got to get it done, got to get it done. So looking forward to getting through all that. And then I really need to tighten up the spending as well, man. Like eating out for every lunch, buying all these Christmas presents. We have just been hemorrhaging money since we got here, or even since we left Port Hedland with fuel and costs and stuff, man. Just hemorrhaging money. And, you know, we don't have a fucking job, man. We need to pull the purse strings shut and really tighten things up and get used to living on a different wavelength of existence, because we're not on those Pilbara bucks anymore, man. We're on the old no bucks. So yeah, you need to start making those adjustments like quick smart as soon as Christmas is over. And I'm looking forward to chilling out and actually working on the van, spending some time working on the system. There's a few little jobs I've got lined up that I've been waiting to do. So I'm going to spend a few days doing jobs on the van. I've got other jobs lined up like for other people to make a bit of this cash we've hemorrhaged at over Christmas, make a bit of that back throughout January. I hope to probably spend 2 weeks out of the 4 weeks of January working, make a bit of money back, that'd be really good. That'd really soften the blow of the last, you know, week of our lives. You know, just gotta stay on top of this. Can't be lackadaisical about it and just be, oh yeah, it's okay, it's all good, because we're at the front end of the journey. We need to think in the long term here and start living like the money's going to run out, because, you know, that's what happens when you don't work. Eventually money runs out. So we really need to start making those adjustments. I did get my work clothes the other day and spent, I don't know, $350 or something on work clothes throughout all the old Pilbara's ones, except one set. I kept one set of high-vis ones for like real dirty jobs, changing a tire in muddy areas or packing up shitty, dusty campsites where I'm just going to get filthy and want to be able to wear some clothes that are going to get completely mauled and then just take them off and not worry about them. But I went and bought all my new work clothes the other day, so I got, you know, like the King G Blueys shirts, King G shirts, a few long sleeves, few short sleeves, and then some cream pants, like drill style pants, some shorts, some pants. I've got some work boots that were still in good condition, and I'm going to get the old Driftwood Carpentry logo embroidered on the breast of them as well, through Total Workwear, and pretty good price for all that as well. It was something really cathartic about going and buying my own work clothes again, getting rid of the high-vis shit, buying my own work. It's the same material, essentially. My pants are a little thinner, but it's just not high-vis shit, orange with fucking high-vis stripes on the stuff. It's just the navy blue, then blue King G's. It's how I like to dress when I'm working, even if I'm just working around on the van or at home or whatever. I like to wear those work clothes. You know, they're good quality shit. You don't need to work in thongs and boardies and a singlet all the time and ruin all your fucking thongs, boardies and singlets and get covered in dirt and shit. You just wear work clothes, man. That's what they're for. They're comfortable. But, yeah, it was really cathartic doing that. And, again, I'm going to get the Driftwood logo put up on the breast and just start working as a carpenter. Even though since the last time we've met, I have received information that my builder's license was approved. So I am now a licensed building contractor. I haven't gone for my building practitioner's license because I'm not going to run a building company just yet. But it's the same step. So essentially, I'm a licensed building contractor, and then eventually, when I want to, you know, if I want to start my own building company, there's another application, some funds that need to be considered, and yeah, you go through the same application form. It's really about the money. It's about the financials, having a business plan and the financials in place, and they'll license you as a building practitioner. So. No, building contractor. So I'm a building practitioner now and there's building contractor license. So looking forward to, yeah, well, that's just cool. I've got that under my belt. That was one of the last little pieces to the puzzle we really wanted to fall into place before we left Port Hedland. And it did, man. I don't have to fuck around with that anymore. 2 years it took me to do that diploma, and another, man, it took me most of this year to February was when the diploma closed, and I got my diploma. And then since February until a week ago, it took me putting together my application, submitting it, resubmitting it, resubmitting it, resubmitting it, waiting, and finally the last back and forth between us was in October, and then finally hearing back a week ago that my license has been approved. That was a nice little piece of the puzzle, feather in the cap right there at the last minute, just to set us off on a nice note, to get out of town, cut ties with Emma's work. That all turned to shit in the end there, which was one of the things we were waiting on, couldn't speak about, and that's all tidied up. That whole thing's tidied up. All our Port Hedland loose ends and my building license are all tidied up now, which is a really nice way to start this next chapter of our life, this next part of the journey. And as you guys know, I'm gunning for this new lifestyle, mate. I'm going to do a bit of work. We're going to homeschool the kids. I'm going to be pushing this fucking podcast. I'm going to be super present on the Instagram and Facebook, and I'm going to put a few YouTube videos up. I'm just going to really start working towards what we want to do in the next stage of our life, man. And I hope you guys have come along for the journey. I hope you tell your fucking mates about it. I hope you follow, like, subscribe, all that shit, man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I've been maintaining this podcast over the last couple of years, struggling to maintain it. Just keep it going. Keep consistency. Keep practicing. Keep the listeners there. Keep them engaged. When I really wasn't where I wanted to be in life, man. So I think you guys are going to see a whole different side of me. You're going to see a whole different side of this podcast. I think we're going to grow. We're going to have fun. I've got a bunch of ideas up my sleeve that will start to come into fruition. And I think this thing is going to take off, mate. And we're going to have some fucking fun with it, because I'm excited about life. Again, for the first time in a long time. I'm fucking excited, man. So let's bloody do it. Let's bloody do it, man. Look, the next episode should be midweek next sometime. So, you know, 4 or 5 days from now, won't be a full week. I'm going to start becoming more consistent with these things. At the moment, I don't have a specific day I want to do them on, but I dare say they'll be more frequent than weekly at the moment, until I hit that 2 a week pace that I'm going to eventually want to get to. I'm going to take you guys out with some Gary Clark Lowdown Rolling Stone. I just need to get the speaker ready. Here we go. Let's listen to a bit of this. This dude kicks ass. See you next week, bitches.